are going about their familiar, comfortable lives. Offices are opening up. Phones are ringing. Computers are turning on. People were chatting in their coffee for the morning. And work was going on in a comfortable routine and pace inside two buildings known as the World Trade Tower. And that morning, however, those familiar, comfortable lives exploded into chaos. We all know what happened as a result of that day. Many of us remember where we were. Towers collapsed, killing and trapping thousands of individuals in debris. It's reported that in the day following the collapse of those towers, 11 survivors were pulled from the rubble, the last being pulled 27 hours after those towers came down. Unfortunately, there were many more who died in that debris. As the hours passed further and further from the time of those towers' collapse, the sickening truth slowly unfolded. No more people would be pulled out of line. The fact was that those who may have initially survived that tower crash were simply just out of reach. There was simply no way to get to them. Rescue workers couldn't see them. Rescue workers couldn't dig fast enough to meet up with those survivors. And because of that, they couldn't get to them to address injuries and needs that they were simply beyond the reach of help. Man's attempts to reach others with help and assistance, those attempts are often frustrated and limited. The people in need are often just beyond the reach of help, like on 9/11, but even in just more mundane day-to-day circumstances. Areas of need like health, struggle with sin, finances, beyond the reach of help. And today, what I want us to do is to turn to Mark 6, the passage we were in last week. We're going to see some more good news about Jesus Christ. And the good news I want us to see today, that we're going to see in this passage, is the good news that you are never out of Jesus' reach. Lots of circumstances in life where you can find yourself out of reach of good help, but you are never out of the reach of Jesus Christ. Last week we saw the good news that Jesus is our compassionate Christ. We looked at the fact that in that story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus demonstrates an understanding of human needs. He knows what it feels like to go hungry. But he also demonstrated an ability to address those needs. He demonstrated an ability to not only perceive and empathize with human need, but also to be able to do something about it. This week, we're going to look at the story that follows that feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 45 down to 52. And this will be the passage we look at this morning. Mark 6, verse 45. And straightway, he, Jesus, constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida. Well, he sent away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked to them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. news about Jesus Christ is that you are never out of his reach. He is your very present help in trouble, as we'll see this morning. As with last week's message, this story brings us really one main point, and that is that point that you are never out of Jesus' reach. And then it's going to fill that out with some truths. Three specifically that we'll look at tonight. So I just want to start in the story. In verse 45, let's start looking at what's happening here. In verse 45, we're told that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Jesus feeds the 5,000 and shows compassion on them, but then he compels his disciples to get into the boat. And that word really is the idea of forcing them to do this. You can picture Jesus kind of herding his disciples down to the boat, you know, kind of gently pushing them onto the boat. Hey, come on, get on, guys. And pushing the boat out of himself. Getting it out in the water, and there it goes. He's really pushing them to get away. Why is that? Well, other accounts of the story tell us that the people, after they eat the bread and the fish, Jesus knew they had something in mind. They saw Jesus and they thought, this is the guy we want to be our king. Okay, let's crown him our king right now. And Jesus knew how easy it would be for his disciples to get caught up in that kind of emotion and that kind of desire. And Jesus knew this is not the time, this is not the place, this is not the right motivation for me to crown a king. So most likely what he was doing was he was getting his disciples out of the way, getting them onto the ship, so they would not get carried away with the crowd's fascination and trying to make him king. But what his compelling does, though, is you'll notice it creates distance between them. If you look at verse 25, it says that the disciples got in the ship, and they're going on the other side to Bethsaida. And in verse 46, it says when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So Jesus constraining, compelling his disciples to leave, creates this distance. He dismisses the crowd, he goes up the mountain, he prays. The disciples set sail to go across the sea. And verse 47 tells us they're in the midst of the sea. But John comes to us to provide a number for this. He says they're about 3 or 4 miles out. So there's a little bit of distance between the disciples and Jesus. But then there's something else here. It's dark. If you look at verse 47, it says when even was come. Or you could say when night fell. The sun's gone down, and it's dark. So Jesus is separated from his disciples by distance. But now there's this darkness, and there's no light from Capernaum or another city that kind of casts this glow over the sea. There's no harbor lights that shine out and illuminate the boats on the lake. And it's dark. And Jesus is up on a mountain, and his disciples are out on the sea, about 4 miles apart. And one more observation. Simply this, the disciples are in a relatively comfortable spot. And think about who our disciples are. You have Peter, James, John, Andrew. Those four are fishermen. The others may have had experience on the lake as well, on the sea as well, as that could be. But those four men, this is their element. This is where they are used to. Put them on a boat, Sea of Galilee, and they're in a comfortable place. And probably the other disciples, whether they had experience or not, they found comfort in their friends' experience in this area. So it really wasn't a big deal to go across the sea in a boat. But in verse 48, we're told that it goes from comfort to chaos. Verse 48 says, he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. They're struggling to make headway across the sea. The Sea of Galilee is known for these windstorms, these storms will just all of a sudden blow in from nowhere. There's no warning, it just boom, they're there. So they may have started out in the sea, and it's calm, it's beautiful, nice night for a boat ride, and they get about 4 miles out, and all of a sudden, here comes the wind, and they're roaming yells and screams of panic, like an earlier story when they're in a boat and Jesus is sleeping in front of the boat and there's a storm going on. We don't hear them saying, "We're going to die." Not here. But the wind was really whipping up the water. The waves were starting to pound the boat. This wasn't a comfortable situation to be in. And their comfort had turned to chaos. It was tense to see. So here are these disciples in these circumstances. They're separated from Jesus by distance and by darkness. They've gone from being close to him to being far from him. They've gone from being with him to without him, from his presence to his absence. That's what they thought. The truth, the reality was, those disciples were never out of Jesus' reach. And I want to pause for a minute and just ask us, you can find yourself in a comfortable routine in life. And yet, in just a moment, you can be in chaos. We sleep in comfortable homes, we go to our comfortable jobs, we follow our comfortable routine, but how quickly that comfort can turn into chaos. A phone call, a project at work, a willful child, a yielding to temptation, a health challenge. All of a sudden, the winds pick up, and you have all you can do just to hold steady and try and make some progress in life. You're strained to make any progress at all. You believe the good news is that you are never out of Jesus' reach. And how can we say that? Well, because of what we're told in the rest of the story. What we're told in the rest of the story in verse 48, first of all, you're never out of Jesus' reach because Jesus sees you in your trouble. Look at verse 48 with me. That's amazing. Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. How in the world could Jesus see them? Remember, they're 4 miles away. Is it daylight out? No, it's dark. And we're told that Jesus is up on a mountain and he sees his disciples toiling away on the sea, trying to row. The only explanation that I have to offer you, the only explanation we can come to, is that Jesus is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, he sees all. Jesus' eyes pierce darkness and span distance to see you in your trouble. You are never out of Jesus' reach because he sees you in your trouble. He sees it. I really have to ask the question, do you believe that? Let me give you a couple of other passages to think about. This verse we can turn to. But Genesis 16, there's a woman named Hagar. Remember Hagar? She's the servant of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Hagar is going about her life serving Abraham, Sarah, doing her thing, doing her job, and all of a sudden her world is turned upside down. She's pregnant with Abraham's child, and she probably didn't have a whole lot of say in that. Her comfort was turned into chaos. To make matters worse, Sarah became vicious with Hagar and dealt harshly with her out of jealousy. Hagar flees into the wilderness. And she flees and tries to basically escape the problems. The Lord finds her, and he tells her to go back and serve Sarah faithfully. He's going to have a son come from Hagar. He's going to bless, and that son would be the father of a great nation. And Hagar says something. She responds in verse 13 of Genesis 16 by giving the Lord a name. She says, "You, God, see me." She responds, she takes comfort in the middle of all this chaos in her life. She takes comfort in the fact, you, God, you see me. When your comfort turns chaotic, you need to remember, your God sees you. You're never out of Jesus' reach because he sees you in your trouble. And he can see you in your trouble because that is what is the nature of God. It's not just his if I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. In other words, distance is nothing because God is everywhere. 4 miles, 400 miles, heaven to hell, God's there. You can't go anywhere if God is not and God cannot see. But then go on to verses 11 to 12. He says, if I say, listen to this, surely the darkness shall cover me. Oh, no one can see me because it's dark. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both light to thee. And you get to Mark 6, and these disciples are 4 miles away, they're in the dark. The truth is, there's nothing, there's no darkness that can hide anything from God. And Jesus is the Son of God. Darkness is nothing to God, because for him, the night shines as light to day. Jesus sees you in your trouble. He is God. His name is, You God, See Me. His nature knows no distance, and he sees no darkness. You know, you may feel like you're miles away from the Lord today. You may feel like you're straining and struggling against the winds of trouble in your life. You don't see Jesus in your boat. And for that matter, you even wonder, where in the world is Jesus? You need to assure yourself with the truth that he sees you. You may not see him, but he sees you. And he sees you in your trouble. You are not outside of his reach. But the story moves on and gives us another reason that we're never out of the reach of Jesus. Jesus sees you in the trouble you're in. But here's the second thing. Jesus meets you right where you're at. Look at Mark 6:48. It says, he saw them toiling and rowing. The wind was contrary unto them. About the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. Right? Stop right there. You've never read this story before. He cometh to them. And as a reader, never read this before, you think, okay, so Jesus goes down to the sea, he gets a boat, works his way on out to the disciples, and he comes to them. Mark does something outlandish. Look at the next phrase. Walking upon the sea. And Mark just kind of passes it off because that isn't what he did. He is not the new walking sea. There's a guy walking on water. Is that not weird? This is incredible. I love to fish. And growing up, my dad and my brother and I would go to a lake nearby our house and we'd fish for all kinds of stuff. Bass, pike, perch, and even. I never once had the illusion when I got to that lake that I could go down to the shore, step off, and walk out to my favorite fishing spot. I always waited for the boat to get in the water when I got the boat and got the fishing spot. This is not normal, in other words. This is not the normal way we think about things. But Mark says, hey, when I'm going to walk on the sea. The point is that Jesus comes wherever we are. There's nothing that hinders his getting to us in our need. He's walking across the Sea of Galilee in a storm, and verse 48, it basically treats this like he's just going to pass them on by. He's going to go, hey guys, keep on walking, go on the other side, and meet him there. But then the disciples see him. And they see this person walking on the sea, and they do what we should do. They go, well, no, that's not possible. How do we explain this? And they're terrified. And in verse 49, we're told, this is how they explain it. They see him walking upon the sea. They suppose it's been a spirit. It's a ghost. But it's not a ghost. This is God. And I want to ask you to turn over with me to one other passage in Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9 and verse 8. Job 9:8, Joseph responded to his friend's counsel. He responds by directing their attention to God. He tells them in verse 5 that God removes mountains. And he says that God shakes the earth and causes pillars to tremble. God commands the sun and seals up the stars in verse 7. And then in verse 8, look at these words. He spreads out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. There's only one person, one individual, who can tread on the waves of the sea, and that is God. This is not a ghost, folks. This is not a script. This is not a magic show. This is God showing his authority and showing his position as God in reaching out and meeting his disciples right where they're at. Again, the point is, you're never out of Jesus' reach because he needs you in your turmoil. Wherever you are, in whatever state of fear, misunderstanding, confusion, or even tired. These disciples were tired. They had a long day. Jesus meets you. You may be figuratively in the middle of a seething sea. You may feel like that. Did you know that Jesus walks on water? You may be fearful, terrified, or completely misunderstand his presence. Jesus meets you there. I find it interesting, Jesus didn't stand on the shore or off to the side and say, hey guys, we need your act together, and you calm down a little bit, I'll climb over and get in the boat. Jesus goes right over and gets the boat. He doesn't wait for them to clean up their act. Jesus goes over and meets them. You are never out of Jesus' reach because he sees you in your trouble and he meets you right where you are at. I ask again, do you really believe that? Do you believe that the waves in your life are under his control and that he alone, he is the one who can tread them under his feet? The fears in your life don't scare him away. He's not some magical, mystical character. He is God. The good news about Jesus is you're never out of his reach. And when he meets you in your life circumstances, he does one more thing that demonstrates you're not out of his reach. And that is, third, Jesus addresses you with truth. Look at his response. He comes to these disciples, and they're all scared. They're crying out. They're troubled. In verse 15, they all saw him, were troubled immediately. He talked to them. And he said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Jesus comes to them, and he has some truth for them. And it does three things. He commands, okay, he clarifies, and then he has something else. He calms them. And those all work together. He starts off by commanding them. He spoke to his disciples and commands them, be courageous. Be of good cheer is another way of saying, take heart. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't faint. It's a command. And Jesus comes, he meets us right in the middle of our trouble. Sometimes his commands are others. Like, pray. Or, trust. Believe. Sometimes those commands are, fret not. Jesus comes and he tells his disciples, you take courage. And sometimes that's exactly what we need in the midst of our turmoil and the waves in our lives. We just need to come back to, okay, take courage. But it's not simply a buck it up, suck it up kind of taking courage. That's not what this is. This is a taking courage, taking heart because of who God is. Because Jesus goes on and says this, it is I. He clarifies who he is. I'm not a ghost, it's me. And guess what? The sheep heard his voice and he knew it. Peter knew it so well, he was willing to say, tell me to come on out to you. That's not recorded in this story, this passage, but it's another gospel. Peter says, tell me, I'll come on out, I'll walk out to you. He knew his shepherd's voice. And Jesus clarifies who he is. Take courage because of who Jesus is. He is God. He is that one who treads in the waters. He is that one who can see across darkness. He can see across distance. He can see you in your trouble. Take heart.
This is who your person is.
And because of that, thirdly, Jesus calms fears. He says, be not afraid. We opened with that psalm this morning. Don't be afraid. When you walk through trials and waters, I will be with you. Jesus comes along and he says, you know who I am, so stop fearing. Take courage because of who I am and be calm. In the midst of your own troubles in life, our own troubles, we need to move from fear toward faith. That's what Jesus wants to do. And we need to take courage because of who Jesus is and find our confidence in him. Folks, we are never out of Jesus' reach. He sees us in our trouble. He meets us right where we're at, and he addresses us with truth. Verse 51 really confirms for us his identity. Look at verse 51. Jesus comes, he gets into the boat, and the wind ceases. Now these disciples have seen this before. They had been in the boat earlier with Jesus in the front, and he stood up and pulled the wind and the waves cease, and everything was quiet. And Matthew 14 tells us that when this happened, the disciples actually began to worship, and they actually professed, this is the Son of God. That's what Jesus is looking to do. He's looking in your trial, in your struggle, in your way. He's looking to come to you, meet you, address you with truth, and move you from that fear to faith. This is God. I will believe him. I'm not out of reach. The disciples had seen this before, and yet they couldn't get their heads around it. It says in verse 51, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. In fact, the idea here is really that this blew their minds. They couldn't grasp what was going on. Like, what just happened? And then verse 52 says, that's all because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Their heart was hardened. And really what that word hardened is it's the idea of being dull or slow to understand. Let me explain it this way. The disciples that this witness and participated in feeding over 5,000 people with a couple loaves, a couple fish, that's it. Jesus created it, they carried it to people. They walked away from that to the comfort of their boat and they find themselves in the middle of a windstorm. Yet the one who saw, met, and addressed their needs, he came to them and they failed to think back on what he's done and understand truly who he was. In other words, they had seen what he could do, but they didn't trust in who he was. They didn't make the connection. Oh yeah, we saw what he did, but when it comes to troubles and trials, the waves get high, and the winds really be hard, we forget all that. Here's the good news. You're never out of reach of Jesus, even in your hardness. Even when you feel like just getting it. Let me apply this really very simply for us. If you were here last Sunday, as I said, we considered together the story before, we looked at the truth that Jesus is the compassionate Christ. He understands needs and he addresses needs. We finished, we got up, made our way out, and we returned to our comfortable routine zone. Work, home, kind of family, school, whatever it was, we went back to our normal, familiar, comfortable routines. And then for some of us, at some point in the week, the winds came. And when the winds hit us, when we began to struggle, to make way, and the troubles came, and turmoil came, and it began to get chaotic, all of a sudden, everything we heard about on Sunday went. And we forgot about it. And like, Jesus is compassionate? You really mean that? What do you think about that? And in the words of Mark, really, we're slow to understand. And yet he realized you were never out of reach of Jesus. He saw you in your heart. He met you right where you were at. And if it didn't happen this last week, okay, he's meeting you right where you're at this morning. He's bringing his word to bear, and he's addressing you with truth. And he's coming along and saying, look, you're never out of reach. You may have been slow to understand this week, but don't fret. Don't fear. Don't worry. Let's work on his hand. Take courage in who he is, and don't fear. Don't be slow to understand. There's a clean week. There may be more waves and winds that pile up. Don't let everything you've heard today or other things you've heard or read in the Word of God disappear from your mind, and all of a sudden you're not making the connection back to what we know is true and what we mean to be. If you do, don't forget. You're never out of Jesus' reach. Maybe you sat here last Sunday, and you know you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You never put your trust. You never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. You sat and there was turmoil in your heart because of your guilt. And all week long, you tried to wrestle down the ways of your guilt. Yet no matter how guilty you are or how hardened your heart, listen, you are never out of reach of Jesus. He sees you in your sin. He needs you right where you're at. There's no cleaning yourself up. You can't do it. He doesn't ask for it. He comes to you and says, here I am. I know your trouble. I know your guilt. Let me address you with my truth. I died on the cross to save you from that sin. Take it. Take my sacrifice. What you need to do is submit to the truth that he addresses you with. You're a sinner deserving eternal punishment in a very real place called hell. And he has come along and he's provided a way to be with God the Father for eternity. Have that guilt removed. You are never out of the reach of Jesus Christ. He sees you in your trouble. He meets you where you're at. And he addresses you with his truth. So run to Christ. Run back to him. Run to him for the first time, perhaps. But go to Christ. You're not out of his reach. Don't despair. Doesn't matter how far you've run or how dark you've gotten yourself into, run back